This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. It is a beautiful day in the sunny Waikato, and we've just returned from Tauranga playing in the anniversary weekend. Pretty good tournament.
It was, and I just want to make a comment about the weather, which I never do because you always talk about it. We got over 30 mils of rain on Sunday, and that was awesome because we really needed it here in the Waikato.
We were staying at a friend of the Birch family's house while they were having a long weekend up at Whitianga, and one of the little messages that they left us was, could you please water the garden? Well, guess what? We never needed to do that. It got plenty of rain on Sunday.
That's really good. We're onto the bridge, Mariana. So how many master points did you get over the weekend? You had a pretty good weekend.
I did have a good weekend. One moment. I have to get my calculator out. Master points that I earned over the weekend, I got 72 C points, 5 B points, and 1.92 A points. I would say that was close to a Sunday roast.
It's a good effort. Well, we didn't get the result of the restricted open pairs, which for anybody who's listening, I can tell you who came third, a close third, and that was Kevin Birch and Mariana Cullen. Who were the top two, Mariana?
Shirley Knight and Flo Neal. One with 115.05, and then Michelle Lander and Helene Patterson, 114.36. That was pretty tight. And yes, we did. We got a podium and an envelope at 112.26. So there was a really, really small difference between first and third.
Okay, well, well done. So the open pairs had a bit of a star-studded field, and 9 of the top 11 playing in the New Zealand trials in the next month or two. Would you believe that?
Wow.
9 of the top 11 pairs. So the top pair that who were trialists were Graham Tufnell and Ian Berrington, and they won pretty narrowly by a couple of percent from Peter Newell and Martin Reed, who are also trialing next weekend. And just back in third were the locals, Sam and Joe Simpsons. So they're trialing in the mixed in another month's time. So lots of trialists in there and a pretty hot field. But what's an interesting thing happened, Mariana?
What was it?
Stark contrast when we came to the teams.
Yeah.
Out of all of those trialists, none of them were making an appearance in the top five. It was interesting. Well, actually, that's not quite true. The winners were, of course, Wayne Burrows and Jack James, playing with Russell Wilson and Gary Chen. And, of course, Wayne and Jack are trialing for the Open next weekend. So, on form, does that make them favourites?
Oh, yeah. Well, we did ask for some picks, if you had any. We did get some picks, and I didn't announce mine, but as listeners know, I always go for the Palmy people. They were brilliant. It was very cool.
I don't know whether I should know. I've been giving one of our listeners a bit of a hard time, and I don't want to discourage him from sending his picks in, but Mark sent in his top five. None of them made the top five, Marianne.
Oh, it just happens like that, doesn't it?
Anyway, the winners were, as I've mentioned to you, the James teams, Jack and Wayne, Gary and Russell. Second were the Carrier team, Gary Foydle and Yuzhong Chen, Colin Carrier and Sandra Kilbert. And third were the Gibbons team, Pam Marsland and John Buckledon, Jenna and Christine Gibbons. That was the result of that. In the plate, it was George Sun's team came out on top. That was George Sun and Alice Young, John Wang and Quang Lu. And second were the Simpson team, which consisted of the Simpsons and the Fishers. There was one more event, which isn't consolation pairs. Boy, was it a star-studded consolation pairs? It was full of all those pairs that didn't make the final. Yeah, it was taken out by Peter Newell and Martin Reed by a distance, 16% over Jeremy Fraser-Hoskin and Prem Sundra.
Oh, no, it's good playing against those players. And you had someone come up to you saying that they can die a happy person, didn't you?
We had this hand, well, we didn't, but they did in the consolation pairs, where somebody had 29 points.
And a lot of people thought, How the hell do I manage that? I mean, when do you get that much?
Well,
and
I
you
heard at
don't
one
know
table,
what to do with it.
I heard at one table, the local from Tauranga, Peter Hagen, I'll name him, Peter and June Hagen, they did brilliantly. Peter Hagen, he was playing against Michael Weir and Grant Jarvis, so top two master point winners of all time. That's who they're playing against, and he picks up 29 points. Peter opens two clubs, his partner bids two diamonds, and he rebids seven no trumps. Anyway, may not have been, you know, the optimum bid, but luckily for him, his partner June puts down a very nice 4 or 5 points with five diamonds to go with his five diamonds, four hearts. Believe it or not, that dummy took four tricks, Mariana.
Yeah,
you've got
I
29
know.
Points. You've got 29 points, and your partner's got a hand that can take four tricks. Anyway, he wrapped up seven no trumps against Michael Weir and Grant Jarvis, and he was pretty close to a top. Highlight of his bridge career, he told me.
Well, a couple of comments that I heard about that hand. So, yes, I agree. Partner opens two clubs. What else could you open? And then because you've got 0 to 7, you respond two diamonds. And one person that had that hand said, bugger, if I'm going to let my partner play diamonds because you had this beautiful diamond, but I'm not having the bar of that and rebids no trumps. I'm playing this monster. And then we also had another person that said, I didn't really know what to do with it, so I just opened three no trumps, pass, pass, pass. Oh.
Anyway, the Robin Young teams, Mariana.
Yes. That was won by Steph Jacob, Tom Jacob, Rochelle Peltman, and Murray Wood.
Well done to them. And there was one other event being held too. That was the Otago Festival Pairs over the weekend.
Yeah. How did that go?
That was won by Kevin Scorapata and Anne Somerville.
Nice.
They won quite handily, about an average of 63 from Philip Noy and Marilyn Noy.
I wonder why they call it Festival Pairs. Do you know?
I don't know. And I don't know the answer to your next question either, because there was the Whanganui Picnic Pairs, and I don't know why they call it a picnic. You'll be interested to know this by your friend Morgan Booker and Zing Zan.
Oh, and Zing, yes. Wow.
Sticking with Justine Hart and Martin Berry. Well done to them. And they had a pretty good turnout down there, 21 tables.
Nice. That's pretty cool. You've met Zing. He used to be up in Hamilton.
He did indeed.
And here's our final segment that we held with Nicole Barclay about the IBE scoring app that she has. It sort of gives you an idea of the chatty way that we spoke to her about her program and also how we came up for the competition, and fingers crossed what we can do next for her. As at the 30th of January, she's already had feedback from a various amount of people, and for that, we're happy, and thank you, listeners. I have a question. Whereabouts in England do you live?
I live in Essex, which is kind of just to the, my mind, the right of London on the map.
In July, I'm going to be over in Nottingham, and we're going to stay in London for a little while after that. And if you got some time, we might be able to meet up.
Oh my God, I would be delighted. That would be amazing. So Nottingham is like 2 hours, I think, ish on a train. Everything in England very quickly gets to London on a train.
Okay. Our youngest is in the Hong Kong over 30 touch team, and the world champs are in Nottingham from the 15th of July to the 21st of July. So we're all going over to watch.
In the what? Bridge?
Touch rugby.
I will come to Nottingham. We can, that'd be cool. I love young people, be it bridge or be it soccer or rugby, because they just love to play. Yeah. And that's the most amazing thing about bridge, right? When you don't get all your colour and flair drummed out of you. It's just wonderful.
All righty. Famous last words.
Famous last words? Are you asking for some?
Yeah.
Don't ask us a question like that without preparing us.
Famous last words.
I should have learnt when I was younger.
And I'm not famous yet, so I haven't got a last word. I'm still building my words. My story is still building.
Thanks for coming on anyway, Nicole, and it'll be interesting to see what our listeners think. I just don't know what to expect from listeners, but hey, we put it out in front of them, and that's all we can do. It sounds like a fairly low-pressure way of presenting it, and the only people that you're going to get are people that are really keen to, you know, that need a new scoring package. That's going to be most of us in the next few years, I reckon.
I was lucky enough to be at a book launch bridge afternoon with a guy I know from directing for many years. I've directed him, and that's Zia Mahmood. I believe he was on your show.
Yep.
At some point in the not too distant future. So his book launch was of an amazing new book that he's published, which I'm right in the middle of reading. I got me here on my plane journey, called Bridge, A Love Story. And it basically epitomizes everything I love about the game. So maybe we can do a draw on our website. I'll put a link. You can register for the prize draw and I'll send the book.
That would be helpful. And who doesn't want to read Bridge, A Love Affair? I'm sure everybody does.
Yeah.
It's a great love affair. He's an amazing guy. He's won like all the competitions at world level that he can play in. He can't play in the women's, but he's won the mixed, the open, and the seniors. Yeah. Not bad for a guy from Pakistan, I'm thinking.
He's probably not finished yet either, Nicole, by the way he's going.
He's not playing the women's. Whatever us girls are, he's not winning the women's.
I had the world champs in
Morocco. I'm
going to
tell him he's not winning the women's. Do you know, I had the luxury or the joy of playing with his son.
Oh, really? Oh,
okay.
Yeah. So on that day, I partnered his son. So that was kind of cool.
Nice. How old is he?
I think he's 20-ish now. And when I last met his son, it was across the table in an event in England called the Spring Fours, which in my opinion is the coolest event in the English bridge calendar. And he was sitting on his lap playing for his father. He was like about 4 years old.
Funny.
He wasn't best pleased. Actually, when I was like, last time I saw you, you were.
In Morocco, he was playing with Jeff Mextroth in the seniors, I think. And I mean, they just had avalanches of kibitzers the whole time. I mean, there'd be more people watch Mextroth and Mahmood than anybody else by far. I think it's his attitude, in fact, maybe Jeff Mextroth's attitude as well to the game, that just attracts people like nothing else.
Mariana, you won't know my sister. I think she might have left New Zealand before you played bridge, but Barry knows my sister. My sister used to be the partner of an international New Zealand player, and they played against Mr. Mahmood in France 1 year. And my sister had absolutely no idea who he was, and she played her contract. And then Zia left the table, and I think the 6 or 10 kibitzers around the table also left. And Karen was like, who was that? You kind of have to know the people.
Look, you need to get Karen a copy of that book.
Yes. She'll know who he is after that. You've read Bridge My Way, haven't you, Barry?
I have. Yep. Great book.
So it's a refresh on that. But not only that, this is the other cool thing about the world, is you no longer have to go through the existing systems. He self-published his book. And it's, my opinion, fantastic. It's in colour and it has a print size that you can read without glasses. It's brilliant.
Oh, wow. I'll have to have a look.
Oh, it's awesome. It's really awesome. So like I say, I'm going to put it on the website. And if anyone listening to this podcast wants to have a look at the website, they can enter the draw and we'll send them a book. If they win, we'll get their address and put it in the post up, because I'm not sure that it's available in New Zealand at the moment. I'll speak to Mr. Zia Mahmood about that. If you think it's a product you all guys will want, a book you want to read, we'll get it into the clubs in New Zealand.
Yeah, we will. I mean,
I haven't seen it anywhere. I don't think it's here.
Well, no, I looked on Amazon and it's not posting to here, because I looked to see how much it was. I was going to get some copies. I'll email them and see. So we put it on the website and I'll get them to put some copies available to us. Well, I'm anything about sharing the joy of this game. They will be delighted. Kiwis are going to hear about your book.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be great. And we'll get to talk to him again, no doubt.
He's a great guy.
Okay. Thank you. Awesome. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your time in New Zealand and achieve what you came over here to do in terms of your ancestry trails.
Yeah, me too. And I'm going to be all around the country. So if anybody really is interested and gives me a shout, then I can probably pop into the club or talk over coffee and do a demos.
Cool.
How long are you here for?
I'm here until the middle of February. I'm going to be in the west coast of the South Island and Christchurch and Auckland are my intended destinations at this point. Conveniently, when my ancestors from both families have set themselves up. So that was very handy.
We know some people down on Westport. There's a great bridge club down there.
Ah, well, I'm going to be popping an email to them in the next wee while after this, just to say while I'm in town, if you want to at least try.
Yeah, we've got a great friend there, Ray Kerno, and they actually have a, what do you call it, a bridge roundup every Saturday on the local radio.
Wow.
There's a bridge section, Nicole.
I'm loving being home. It's so much more cool than where I do bridge stuff.
I'm going to say this. Why not? The bridge zone, we did actually get to number one on 1 month, didn't we, Mariana? Mm. Which for a bridge show, it's pretty amazing.
It's incredible. Yeah.
No, that's awesome.
Well,
thank you so much for coming on, Nicole.
And thank you for abstaining so that we got you... relatively sober. That was awesome. And who knows, we may get you back on the show again if this becomes a bit more topical.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you so much, guys.
And to highlight Zia, here's a very old clip, but hey, it's Zia.
Today's top player is Zia Mahmood of Pakistan, London, and New York City. Author, ACBL Player of the Year in 1991, and one of the most outstanding bridge personalities in the world.
I have Zia Mahmood with me today. Zia, of all of the things that you could have done, why did you choose bridge?
Well, Laurie, actually it's a kind of a bit of a strange story. I was once a CPA, which is rather boring, and I started playing bridge and I got totally kind of transfixed and intoxicated by it. But I come from the East in a very superstitious climate where I am. So I figured that before I changed my job and left my family and wandered around the world to play bridge, before I made this decision, I have to have a sign because I believe in fate. And I said, one day I'll have a sign. And if I get that sign, I'll become a bridge player as opposed to whatever I was doing. So I waited for some time and no sign came. And I was beginning to have second thoughts about moving to bridge or carrying on working. And finally, one night when I was asleep in my house in Pakistan, there was a voice that called me in the middle of the night. And I was happy because I'd been waiting for this and I was really expectant and I wanted to see what the message was of fate to tell me what I should do.
What did she say?
Well, not she, but it was a voice and it called my name at about 3 a.m. and I woke up and I said, yes, tell me, what should I do, voice of fate? And about 3 times the name called me, Zia, Zia. And finally I said, yes, tell me, speak to me, what should I do? And voice of fate, tell me. And voice answered, well, this is not a voice of fate, Zia, you stupid. This is your brother Ali, and I'm locked out, and I've lost my key. Open the bloody door. So that moment, I knew that bridge was for me, and I should leave everything. It wasn't quite the voice of destiny, but it was a message.
It was close enough.
And I needed any excuse to go and spend the rest of my life playing bridge, which I have been doing ever since, and I love every moment of it.
And so successfully, too. What characteristic do you have that really makes you, and I'm sure you think you're the absolutely the best player in the world.
No,
and
I don't
you
think
probably
so.
Are.
I know it, but I don't think it. It's partly something that you're gifted with, but it's also partly an interest, a desire to be as good as you can. And all players in any field, I think, who excel are people who are so involved in the game, they try and pursue their own excellence. And for me, playing bridge is, I mean, I want to be the best in the world, but really I want to be the best I can be myself. Mm-hmm. And I must confess, bridge is a game that on occasion I can be as bad as any beginner and I can be better than any other player. So my own standard varies really like the moods of the day. I mean, it's something
well,
that's not
constant. I have to tell you, I'm delighted that your brother got locked out that day because you have added so much to the bridge world. Thank you very much.
Okay. I know that your partner's experienced this too, and we were thinking it was probably going to be a question for Judge Julie or bailiff. It was about when opponents open one heart and your partner bids two diamonds, and then the opponent on your right bids one spade. You want to show support with partner's diamonds, so you just accept it and bid two diamonds. Somebody came up to me and said, who plays it?
Personally, bid the diamonds first gets to play it. Seems an obvious answer to me. I'm just a simple country boy, as you know.
So my question really is, and I'll ask Judgy, is like, do you have to call the director if you're going to accept it and then just bid it anyway?
Oh, I'm pretty sure you do.
Uh-oh. So you can't take matters into your own hands.
I don't know. You know what Judge Julie's like. Be like a red rag to a bull to her to say that you bid two diamonds without calling the director. I'd be too scared to tell her if it was me.
Shit comes stomping over. I hear a lot of people are heading over to Gold Coast.
They are, but big things happening next weekend. Of course, the New Zealand trial is being held for the Open team. So that'll be, and also the women's team are also trialing over the weekend. So plenty to look out for. on the weekend. And actually, the women's trials final is going to be online. So if you've had a bit of a loose end on Waitangi Day, it's going to be online. You might be able to check it out.
So it's going to be online. Some's going to be face-to-face and some's going to be online.
Yep, they're going to play face-to-face on Saturday and Sunday.
Yep.
And then they're going to have three teams. The top two teams will play a final on Tuesday, and that's going to be online. The open trial is just going to be over the full 4 days. There are four teams trialling in the open.
And where is that being held in Wellington?
Sorry, it's in Auckland.
Oh, it's in Auckland. Right. Are you heading up to the Franklin Summer Swiss Pairs Tournament this weekend?
I don't think there's anything else on this weekend, is there? Is that the only tournament?
There's Top of the South Rubber Bridge Competition.
A bit of a quiet weekend on the tournament schedule after all the busyness of this weekend just gone, Mariana.
Well, they've got the Havelock North Waitangi Day Charity Tournaments.
There's another picnic going on.
Waitangi Day Charity Tournament.
Oh, yeah, I see that. Okay, I guess it's like Tangi weekend, I don't know. Yeah, it's 2 days early, isn't it? Because Auckland have got their Waitangi Day pairs on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And New Plymouth have got another picnic on the 4th of February.
Hey, listeners, don't forget, you've got three chances to enter the IBEscore.com competition for that freebie book, that Zia Mahmood one, Bridge, A Love Story. So get in. We will have our secret key for this week. What's a good word for this week, Barry? Pick one.
Redouble.
Okay, so the magic word for this week is redouble.
You'll hear more about that with the bailiff in this week's Judge Julie segment.
Director, please.
Judge Julie is in session. It's the bailiff today.
He is Patrick.
Morning, bailiff. You're with us today. Julie's on her travels again.
She's flying down to visit her relatives in Christchurch. Probably landed by now.
Right.
Yeah, well, obviously you don't have the jet-setting lifestyle of a megastar like Judge Julie.
Yes, she's the jet-setter, yes. You're quite right.
Okay, I have a question. This actually happened to me, Patrick. That's why I'm taking full advantage here. Bit of a weird situation, actually. The person on my right opened a club, and I bid one diamond, and the hand on my left, sounds a bit odd, redoubled. Now, I've never had anybody try to redouble my bid. Yeah, they redoubled my bid. Anyway, the director was called, Patrick. What do you reckon should happen here?
Well, first of all, I think this is a case where the director has two possibilities. One is that they can say it was an unintended call. Sort of like if you overcall a spade and you've got lots of hearts and you obviously meant to write a heart, but for some reason your brain wrote a spade, then the director can allow you to have it back as an unintended call. But if you're confused about something, or like, for instance, if they open a no trump and you overcall two hearts and you've got lots of spades, you might have been confused and been thinking, oh, my partner opened a no trump and you intended it as a transfer, right? That would be not paying attention and making a mistake rather than a complete sort of slip of the tongue, or in this case, a slip of the pen, or a slip of the taking the wrong card out of the bidding box. So making a mistake, you're not allowed to have as unintended, but the sort of slip of the tongue you are allowed to have as unintended. And this is a really unusual situation with this redouble. So I would want to take the person away from the table and have a chat and say, how did this happen? And then make a decision as to whether it's an unintended call. Simple ruling, because you say, oh, look, you didn't mean to do that. Well, let's change it. No problem. Or if I decide it wasn't an unintended call and you, for some reason, got confused and deliberately wrote redouble by mistake, then there's a tricky rule about your partner getting barred and you being able to change your bid to whatever you like for your partner being barred from the auction. So, yeah, having a chat with them away from the tables, the director would then have to make a decision on that.
Okay, but wait, Patrick, there's more. What's over?
Unfortunately, with Barry, I've found there's always more.
Yeah. So my partner then said, who'd obviously not been totally engaged, said, oh, I forgot I was meant to alert one diamond. Does that make a difference?
Well, you see, in this case, it might make a difference in that, for a start, they might have a different choices available to them after the alert if it means different things. Some people don't. Like, for instance, Julie and I in the same situation, we play pass and redouble showing a certain number of points, regardless of what it is. But just the fact that it's alerted, it technically means you've got a chance to change your call. So while I don't think that the people who wrote this rule ever envisaged this situation, I think possibly it does allow them to change their call. Therefore, effectively, it winds up being treated as an unintended call, which it might have been in the first place anyway.
Okay, Patrick, so when we're playing with you in a couple of weeks, if we're a bit late finishing, just realise that we might have had a long option where it's gone one club, one diamond, and it takes us a long time.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, you know, half the time when I come to chase on the last table that's still playing is I've called the rest of the room to move, half the time you find they're playing a contract like one heart. You think, well, there wasn't their slow bidding that got them here.
Okay. I just want to confirm something with you. Judge Julie said something last week, and I just want a second opinion here. She reckons that more problems happen on the first board of a session and the last board of a session than all of the ones in between. What do you think?
I suspect it's not a huge difference. But yes, she didn't mention this comment to me, and I'd at least mildly agree with it.
Mildly?
I think if you had a 12-board match, I think if you added up the number of times that there was a problem on the first board or the last board, it would probably be more than one-sixth of the time. Certainly at the start, you occasionally get called where they've looked at their opponent's system card and had a grump about some system thing or something. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the last board, things are getting pretty tense, and sometimes that causes things. So I'm guessing slightly more on the first and last board than any other particular board, but one of those things. And, of course, there's Bob Hammond's bowls tip, if you remember, was he said, always concentrate the most on the first board and the last board of a match, because it's the easiest time where you can be careless, either because you're not into it yet or because you're thinking, oh, I want to get back and score up with my teammates. So his bowls tip as a bridge player was to concentrate as hard as you could on the first board and the last board.
I don't actually remember reading that one. So I reckon that's about as good as it gets. Mild agreement between bailiff and Judge Julie. That's about as good as we can.
Yeah, it doesn't get any better than that.
Funny.
Thank you very much, Patrick.
All right, see ya.
Did you answer me? Are you going up to Franklin Swiss Pairs?
No, I'm not. So I've got open homes all weekend, Mariana. I've got a whole list of them here. There's going to be five of them.
Five?
Five of them. So, you know, if you want to buy a property, come to Ray White. Do I get a free ad?
Yeah, you can have one. Alrighty then, we shall see you at the table.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international, nationwide.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.